Blog Talk Radio.
On June 5th, it's all about the authors.
A lot of authors, new authors that I've noticed over the years that have come out, they think that just because you write a book, it's automatically going to sell. You have to get out and promote yourself. I had my ass out there on the street.
We had... On June 5th, it's all about the authors.
A lot of authors...
Okay, well, I could see that my intro did not go as planned because it should have been an intro by Michael Simons. But we are talking live. I am Glenn Grace, host of A Touch of Grace. And Michael Simons, I'll hit you up next time, dude. He did a sound bite for me. And he is also a writer as well as a musician. And so where we're going to start right now is we're going to start with a poem. First of all, I would like to welcome everybody to A Touch of Grace on this September 16th, 2010 day. It is 6 p.m., and I'd like to thank you for tuning in. The first thing I'm going to start off with this poem called The Window. I was standing on the outside like a stranger, peering through this window, and I recognized everyone inside. I could hear laughter and inaudible conversations. Everyone appeared to be having a great time until I scanned the room. That's when I saw this one person leaning up against a far wall, not smiling. With arms folded, I watched this individual who seemed quite disconnected. This person struck me as someone immersed in private thoughts. Something inside of me started aching because I sensed that there was hurt. I couldn't walk away from the window without trying to understand why there was so much pain. I felt a jump in the breeze and heard autumn leaves rustling on the ground around me. I touched the window and it felt warm, which assured me that everyone inside should be cozy. I stepped back but never stopped looking inside. I was filled with adolescent curiosity and intrigue by this individual's lackluster presence. I wondered why someone surrounded by so much joy wasn't smiling. I tightened the scarf around my neck to keep the cold air from seeping in. I paced back and forth outside that window, confused by this person's solemn demeanor. I contemplated on what to do, and just as I was about to walk away, it came to me. The person I saw leaning against the wall was the person that I used to be. With a smile on my face, I was finally able to walk away from the window. Now, pretty much that is a metaphor about life. Our lives are broken up into several segments: who we were prior to wisdom gained, who we are as we embrace and get through life transitions, and who we will become based on what we've learned from all encounters and experiences, good and bad. Now, my pilot show was on 9-2, and it was truly another pivotal point in my life along this journey. I received a lot of accolades and well wishes from listeners, and also some constructive criticism, which I welcome, because growth occurs when someone takes the time to provide helpful feedback and one listens. Now, apparently I led many listeners to believe I had not read Broken Gem, which was the guest tonight is Tassan Haynes, an author and school teacher out of Connecticut. And I suppose it might have been my nerves. I'm pretty sure it was. Well, I did read this novel, and I must say it had more twists than a bottle cap. So I decided to bring back Tassan so that we can give readers a bit more insight on this amazing literary offering. I'm also going to be taking calls this time from listeners, something I forgot to do during the pilot show. I was too busy focusing on not jumbling up my words. Okay, the first thing about this book that touched me was Tassan's moving poem, Vision, at the beginning. Now, Tassan, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man, I had to bring you
for
back.
For the second time. You know? Yeah, for the second time.
Yeah, I had to bring you back because I'm not really sure where in the cosmos I was during that first show, but I have to tell you that I did read Broken Gem, and you know I did.
Of course.
Okay,
well, you know,
so
you had two people on, and, you know, you were nervous, so.
Uh-huh.
It's all good.
It was It was my first show. So like Stevie Wonder said, it's concert in Concord Pavilion. I'm sipping my tea. Okay. Now,
Stevie on me, huh?
Oh, yeah. So now, was that heartwarming poem written in general, or was it inspired by someone special? Because I tell you, when I read it, because I read the beginning pages of Broken Gem, and you had a lot of people that you thanked in there, but then when I came across Vision, I read it. I was sitting out at this animal preserve, and I was watching, like, birds fly and everything, and I read it, and it really did hit me. I'm telling you right now. So was it inspired by someone?
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, for the listeners that don't have the book is dedicated to my mother. And, you know, my mother passed away almost 3 years ago. And I'm just inspired by strong women. And
right.
The title of the poem is called Vision. And I wanted to pay homage to just strength in women in general. So I used her as a muse.
Okay.
Because before I got into, you know, writing fiction, I only wrote poetry. You know, so I said it would be fitting for me to have that other side of my literary game in this book. So.
Okay. Now, I'm going to put you on the, I hope I don't put you on off guard. Vision, do you have a copy of your book?
Of course.
Okay.
I do.
You know
I
what?
Do.
What I would like you to do, Tassan, and the reason I'm asking this of you right now is because there are so many people out there with the economy the way it is, with the world the way it is, with people in bad places right now in their lives. Not bad places, but in places of growth, because United States is, you know, has become a totally different place to live in. So the reason I would like you to bless the readers with a reading of this poem, Vision, is because I think somebody listening right now will be very inspired by it. So do you mind?
Oh, not at all. Well,
okay.
Just to, again, set it up, I think most people could relate to being raised by, you know, a strong woman, whether it be a mother, grandmother, you know, being around someone who inspires them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think anybody can relate to this. And again, this is one that's just dear to my heart, you know, because my mother was just, you know, just the closest person I had to me in life. So this is Vision. I see you, relentless in your resolve to provide, protect, love, nurture, often single, often abused, neglected, used. I see you. I see you tirelessly working, overtime, quality time, all the time, making ways when none could be seen, swallowing one's pride. I see you. I see you in intelligence, strength, and grace, in the laughter of my daughter, in the hands of my grandmother who toiled through decades of strife, who toiled through decades of strife. Through the seasons of sickness and in the eyes of my mother closing in death, I see you. Woman of color, woman of integrity, woman of pride. Sister, I truly do see you.
Wow.
And that's Vision.
Wow. I have to tell you, thank you so much for reading that. And I'm hoping that someone listening that's going through something right now realizes that even though people don't acknowledge what we do, we each and every individual, we really do touch a life. And I know that, you know, from the candid discussions that you and I had, Tassan, I know that your mother had a lot of adversity, but in spite of everything, she really did come forward with you and inspire you and to be the best person. So, again, callers, what I want you to know is that I will be taking calls this evening. I see a few of you have called in, and I will. But let's go ahead and get into this interview a little bit. And again, I want to thank, first of all, Robert Wesley Branch for showing me the way with Blog Talk Radio. And I want to thank Adriana Williams and Destiny Carter for also allowing me the privilege of listening, as well as Renetta Cochran for including me in her catalog. Now, okay, now that I got those shout-outs, here we go. Now, my experiences in writing, then self-publishing, and then learning how to market my books has given me a fire inside that burns sometimes and will not die. It burns all the time. So, Dasan, before we get into Broken Gem, let me start here. Your product is very well-written and easy to follow. What strategy do you have in place to change peakers into actual purchasers?
Well, when I initially decided that, okay, I wanted to have this book out, I wanted to make sure that I had something that, one, was going to whet people's appetite for the book. Mm-hmm. So when I decided to have my marketing plan for the book, I said, well, I want to get people into the book, give them a taste of it. So on my website, I allowed for people to read the very first chapter of the book. And with my book, every single chapter in the book, you're not left with a dull moment. You know, I you know how when you read certain books, it gets boring at some points, or it might dull, you know, get a little dull. I didn't want that to happen. So for every single chapter, I wanted to make it have an impact. So even with the very first chapter, I'm leaving the reader like, well, damn, what can happen after this? How can this person follow up this chapter? And people get so sucked into the first chapter, they want to go ahead and order the book. So if you're a peaker, you want to purchase it.
Well, one thing I could say is this, okay? When I read the beginning is really a prelude to the ending. You know, yeah. And I know that I've seen that on, because, you know, Aaron Spelling, I know people will probably chuckle at this, but he made some cool made-for-TV contributions as far as, you know, as far as storylines and everything. But I thought, when I read it, I was like, whoa, it hooked me. Okay, it hooked me into what you were doing because I'm like, well, this is the ending of the book, you know. But then I read on. But let me go a little bit further. Now, my first novel, because we're going to talk about this main character, Sapphire, and Lord knows there are so many Sapphires and Samuels out there because, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, male or female. Now, you know, the first novel that I wrote, Knife of Deception, has a woman who is driven by molestation, and yours is by rape.
Mm-hmm.
Amanda Robinson, in my book, Knife of Deception, and Sapphire have similar qualities. Their perceptions about life are warped as a result of their innocence being taken away at such an early age. So what inside you do you think allowed you to write from that sort of pain? Because, I mean, it's heavy.
You know, I think just living life, seeing people, meeting people, and then having the imagination that I have, I think just allowed me just to tap into just to the emotion that one would have, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And again, and also having the mother that I have now, she didn't experience a rape, but knowing women, knowing the strength of women, you know, allowed me just to say, you know what? What could possibly happen?
Uh-huh.
You know, what path could one go down if this type of trauma happens? And like you said, it is really heavy. You know, you can go down a positive route. You know, you can, you know, seek help and turn the negative into a positive. Or you can really go down, and, you know, and spiral. And even being in education, you know, I'm forced to deal with students who have awful backgrounds.
Huh.
And some deal with it, you know, and can cope with it, and some can't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have to deal with emotionally disturbed kids. And,
right.
You know, and you know, I get the reports on what happened to certain kids and how they cope. So I have a wealth of, you know, experience dealing with different people.
Right, right.
So, you know, so I pull everything in.
Psychology and, you know, heavy psychology, because I used to work for a Fortune 500 company, and what I learned early on when I became a manager is that a lot of the times people come to you, and this doesn't matter what age group or whatever, they come to you with issues that have nothing to do with education or with the job that they're doing. They have a lot of built-up frustrations based off of what's going on in life. Now, this is the next question, okay? A lot of people walk around with pain and unresolved issues, and those of us who have encountered them tend to be pulled into the craziness. Now, Sapphire's pain and desire for revenge, it really caught a lot of people off guard, and then tack on the fact that she was extremely beautiful, because if I'm not mistaken, what color were her eyes?
They were blue.
Yeah.
They were blue. They were a luminescent blue. You know,
Yeah. One
of those anomalies that happen, you know, just with genetics. And, you know, her race is really one of those things that, you know, the reader will have to kind of discover for themselves. But, you know, she's a blue-eyed, beautiful girl.
Yeah. Now I'm going to touch on something that I saw in the movie Losing Isaiah with Halle Berry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this child's mother abandoned him, and then she fought to get him back. Now, with Sapphire's mother, and I saw this in, I believe, Holiday Heart with Ving Rhames, where the daughter goes into, I guess it's a crack house, and her mother kind of like, it's so hard up for this drug, because Sapphire didn't really, well, yeah, her mother was a drug addict, and, you know.
Yeah, big time.
yeah, she was a drug addict, and then Sapphire tried to get away, but the rape scene of this young girl, you know, anally and vaginally, oh, my God, it was crazy. It was crazy. So let me ask you this question. When you wrote her character, did you have a muse, or was she totally from your imagination?
Sapphire initially started in a class that I taught. I was teaching a creative writing class, and I was teaching my students about character development.
Mm-hmm.
And I really wanted to show my students that, one, if I'm expecting for them to be able to create a dynamic character, you know, a fully dimensional character, you know, just not one of these flat characters that just have no personality, you know, you have to create one too. I wanted the character, you know, for them to give me a character that had a background, some depth to it, you know, and as I started doing it to be a model for my students, Sapphire just started just to spring to life, you know?
Right.
And so she just came to me, you know, out of my imagination. And, you know, the rest just became history. It was just like, wow. It started with the blue eyes, and her background just started to come to me, you know?
Okay. We're going to do something different here, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to take a call, right, before we progress further. It's from an 845 number, because I want people who are listening to be able to hear what we're talking about. 845, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can
Very
you hear
cool.
me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, well, this is Emilio, Mr. Grace. I just was calling in to let you know that I'm listening.
Hi, Emilio.
Hey, cuz. How's everything going?
Hey, how are you?
Okay. Well, I want you to know that I really enjoyed the poem also, and I was wondering, Tassan, are you going to do a book of poetry one day soon?
I have one finished. And down the line, I definitely hope to have one out. But I just got a new publisher, so Broken Gem will actually be re-released.
All right. So you mean to tell me, unlike the last time, you being told to take your kid to the truck stop to sell a book, you got someone else to push the book for you?
Yes. So Broken Gem is no longer under the umbrella of J.L. King Publishing. It will now be under PHE Inc. We're looking for probably a release around the first quarter of next year, no later than probably the second quarter. It will be international, in the UK, Australia, Borders, Barnes & Nobles. It'll be e-book, Amazon, all those places. So we're going to re-release Broken Gem. I do have a book of poetry finished. So that will probably be, you know, something that will be done as well. So, yeah, you know, because poetry was my first love. So, you know, look for that as well. You know, like I said, this literary game is going to be great for me. So, yes.
That is truly a blessing. But for those of us, for those that don't have the book, could you enlighten us a little bit on who Sapphire is? And with that, I'm going to leave and say goodnight. And, Mr. Grace, thank you for being so grateful.
Emilio, you know what I want to thank you for? I want to thank you for supporting your cousin, because I'm going to tell you right now, it's not so much just love, but it's also belief in his abilities. And I also want to thank you for giving me a few tidbits to help me along the way, because I really want to get off in depth. So I thank you for listening.
You're welcome.
Yeah, now
I will continue to listen.
Okay.
Even when my cousin is not on.
Okay. And what we're going to do, we're going to take another call from a caller in the 973. See you later, Amelia.
See you now.
Love you, cuz. Thank you so much for calling.
Love you, too.
All right.
Okay. Okay, this is a caller from the 973 area code. Are you there?
Yes. Hi, this is Gwendolyn Carter. How are you?
Hi, Gwendolyn. How are
you?
Hi,
Gwen.
Hi, I'm fine. I was listening to you, and you were just speaking lightly on the problems you had with your publishing company.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of companies out there are just, you know, you're so glad that you wrote a book, you want to get it published, and then you sign the papers, and you realize you almost signed your life away, you know. And did you have
mm-hmm.
this problem, you know, as bad as that, or, you know, are you able to come up out of it?
My initial issues, luckily, I retained all the rights to my work,
mm-hmm.
which I was very fortunate about. It was a lot of issues with me having to micromanage everything that was done,
mm-hmm.
which was the part that I hated the most.
Yeah.
And I had to market everything. I'm taking care of the inventory of my book, and with my new publishing company, I have it available. It will be available, you know, nationally and internationally. So it's just a completely different ballgame.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just nice. It's nice to, you know, be in an environment where I'm dealing with people who are genuine professionals. You know, I don't have to deal with people that are just unprofessional, you know?
Yeah. You could
I don't want to, you know, be crass or you know, badmouth people, but, you know, the other situation that I dealt with, I was left with a bad taste in my mouth, so.
Yeah. It's good to be able to sleep at night, you know, peacefully.
Yeah. I mean, I actually have peace of mind now, you know, and it's like when you feel comfortable and you have people that you know that are genuinely in your corner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's, like, real transparency in everything from books to the cost of books to, you know, the financial, everything financial, it is amazing, you know. I'm loving it. I'm loving it. And, you know, I'm glad and I'm blessed that I went through it, you know, because it was a learning experience.
Yeah.
And the fact that through word of mouth and through the, you know, the books that I did sell, you know, because I did sell a couple of hundred books, you know, and it did land into the right hands. You know, God is good. You know, mm-hmm. God shows favor to those, you know, to those who are patient, you know, and wait on him, you know, and I'm happy.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad for you.
Yeah, and Gwendolyn, I want to thank you for calling in and supporting this show. Of course, you know, the first show, I forgot about how to use the switchboard. But I do know that there's another author that that you represent. And what's her name again?
Andrea Renee Clinton.
Right. I'm going to have her on the show as well. But, you know, I sincerely want to thank you for taking the time out to listen in on this show, because it is growing, and I'm growing as a Blog Talk Radio host. But what I want to do now is, what other questions do you have for either Tassan or myself?
Well, that was it. When he touched on that, because Andrea was on the radio about a week or so ago, and the person asked her about publishing, and she was telling, you know, the writers that, you know, don't think that it's going to be overnight and you're going to get rich, you know, because a lot of them think, well, I wrote a book and I'm going to get rich, and you know, but it's not like that. And like he was saying, Tassan, it's so much that you have to do, so much footwork, and, you know, so I'm just glad to be able to help out where I can, you know, but it is.
You got to do your homework, and, you know, and it is a lot of work, and you don't do it for the money. I mean, because if you're doing it for the money, you're definitely doing it for the wrong reason.
You can say that again. Okay,
look,
well, what we're going to do. Got
to keep your day job.
So what we're going to do, Gwendolyn, I hope you continue to listen in. We're going to dig a little bit deeper into Broken Gem.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so let's get back to Tassan. Thanks for calling in, hon.
You're quite welcome.
Okay.
Thank you for calling. Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Okay,
Tassan.
Yes.
I'm telling you, she is a dynamic lady. She introduced herself to me as this show continues to grow. There are a lot of authors that want to be on, and I'm like, I'm just very humble. But now let's get back here into Broken Gem.
Yes.
6 degrees of separation.
Yeah.
Okay. Sapphire's distorted way of living, her conniving ways, link people together unsuspectedly. Once they find out, people are in for the shock of their lives. And, you know, affairs of the heart cut deep. You know, so what I want to know as far as this goes, you know, because I'm telling you, you have an educator, this guy, Professor Langston, and you have who gets involved in a relationship with his student, who Sapphire is, and then you have his daughter, who has a boyfriend, who gets involved with Sapphire, and then you have the wife, who is trying to be the doting wife, and she knows that things aren't right. They're trying to keep up this image of, you know, the model family, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing that I want to, because when you wrote this Langston character, I mean, from personal experiences as far as dealing with people that will, you have someone that's loving you unconditionally, but for whatever that reason is, you want the tramp on the other side of the fence, because I'm telling
mm-hmm.
you right now, you know, so this Professor Langston character, who is an educator and supposedly like a pillar of the community, when you wrote that character, God, what was the inspiration behind that? I mean, God dang. I'm serious.
Well,
he was,
I wanted to, well, let me first back up for a second. And when we talk about Professor Langston, his character really came about when I thought about women, because, you know, the majority of readers are women. You know, men we read, but, you know, we, as a writer, we all know women are the largest demographic, you know. So I really wanted to write a book that women would appreciate. And I wanted to write a character that women would dislike. And women would dislike this character, and women could relate to the dynamic of the relationship that he had with his wife. And we all know and probably have either seen it in our own lives or, you know, could relate to it in some fashion about a marriage where a woman stays with a man that she knows is cheating. You know, the man is cocky. You know, he stays out. No regard for the woman that he has at home, who does everything that she is supposed to do.
Right.
We've seen it. You know, our first instinct is to say, she needs to leave him.
Right.
But we all know that it really is not that easy. It's so easy to say, leave that man. But when we have an attachment that lasts, you know, 20 years.
Right.
When you spend a lifetime with somebody, is it really that easy just to say, okay, I'm done, and walk away? When you have a child with somebody, is it just that easy to snap your fingers and say, I'm walking away? No matter how cocky this man is, no matter how much of a bastard that he is, can you just walk away that simply? No, there's really a dynamic there that touched a lot of my readers, you know? They might hate him, you know? But that one relationship, that dynamic, they understood. So I wanted a character that you just couldn't stand. And that was him, you know. I needed that antagonist in this book. So, you know, he was just that person that I had fun writing. I wanted him to purposely do things and say things that would make people say, who the hell does he think he is, you know. I wanted women's necks, you know, to roll and, you know, them to want to throw the book against the wall and, you know. So it was fun. He was a fun character to write.
Well, you know what else I liked about it, too? A couple of things. Now, there's the daughter, and she has a young man that she's in love with and who winds up getting wrapped up with Sapphire, you know, after a couple of drinks, okay? And now, again, 6 degrees of separation. You know, what is the irony in the fact that her man winds up messing around with the same girl that her father was messing around with? So, you know, the thing that clouds up everything is that this woman is remarkably beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And you know what people don't realize is that people that are quote-unquote exceptionally beautiful, they have flaws.
Yes.
They have flaws. And until you are wrapped up in the web, you don't realize who you're dealing with because, let's face it, if you are beautiful, like Halle Berry, okay, went through I don't know how many marriages or whatever, and none of us will ever know really what these guys experience when they're dealing with her, people come to expect a certain thing from you. Now, with Sapphire, you know, none of these people knew, the two guys that messed with her, I think it was two, they didn't know.
There's a couple more.
Yeah, okay.
She had a
but,
couple
you know,
more, huh?
Each and every person she encountered, there was a motive behind why, you know, she wanted to be with them, and they didn't know. And that is the most cunning thing to me right now, because when people encounter people out on the streets and, you know, you see people that have been in relationships for a long time, but then you also see people, a lot of people who are still single, you don't know who you are encountering or what it is that, that is making them tick or what their motives are. You know, and that's one thing that struck me about this book, I have to tell you. Now, this young lady was raped at, I believe, 13?
Yep. No, she was younger.
She was raped at 13, mother threw her to the side, you know, and any man that she encountered from that point on, in spite of the angel that she met after the rape, in spite of all that, she was so torn inside that she would rather try to satisfy her guardian angel and say, oh, I'm a good person, I'm this and that. But do you understand the level of corruptness and brokenness that was within her that you, as an author, could, like you said, you embellished a lot of this. You know, as a writer, you think outside of the box, but come on now, Tassan. Come on, man. Oh, my God. The way you wrote the encounters that this woman had and then her... her inability to kind of, because she wasn't stupid. She was not a stupid young woman, but.
No, she was one who actually had an education. She actually pursued it, you know, and when you, a lot of times you read novels where characters had trauma, you know, she dealt with her trauma, but just didn't deal with it in the appropriate way. You know, she sought education, but she used men as a way to get through. She plotted revenge against men, but yet and still had an education.
Okay. Because, you know, once I started reading this book, I couldn't put it down. I could not put it down. So, the thing I'm saying, for all the writers that are out there listening right now, if you are a writer that really does use your imagination, I mean, this girl here, I mean, come on. All of the stuff that she did to people. I mean, do you understand? This is the thing about love. There's a fine line or a thin line between love and hate for all of you, those who saw that movie with Martin Lawrence and Lynn Whitfield. Some people love hard. But with this character, there was no love within her. How she operated was, I need to get what I could get for myself, period. The only person she loved in this book was the woman that found her after the rape. And then, to add a twist to the shit and how people will take advantage of your emotions, is that she told a professor or a teacher at the school that, you know, she wanted to give the illusion that she had made these braids, right, and, even though she had missed. And then, now this is the twist, how mofos are. I won't use the word MF. This girl was hurting when she told him why she needed to have these good grades on the report card. This sucker said, well, what are you going to do for me?
Man, you know, this book, it just has so many twists and turns. And, you know, one person who read the book, and this is the person out of Texas that bought the book,
yeah.
They, for anybody who ever watched the show Desperate Housewives, and for anybody who ever seen the show, the way the book is narrated, in the sense, and the way the story is told, it's kind of told like that, with twists and turns, and, you know, you never see certain things coming. It's told in that way. You know, it's like, it just keeps you on your toes from the first page to the last page. And you just, your mouth would just drop because you just can't see certain things happening. And it's like, you pull for certain characters and then it's like, damn, what else could happen to this poor girl? Or what else could she possibly do to somebody else? And, you know, it's like I hit on different demographics in this book as well. So you not only have, you know, the infidelity or the revenge, you know, there is murder in this book. You know, there's the suspense idea. There's the mystery. There's, you know, the whole whodunit, you know. And like, you know, Jeannie was saying, there's the whole 6 degrees of separation because Sapphire and her antics are just like, it touches so many different people in this book. It, you know, your head's going to spin. The ending is just going to shock everybody. You know, that's just something that you just have to buy the book for, you know, so look out for it, get it on my website, you know, the last couple copies or, you know, the second half of next year or first half, whichever one comes first. But, yeah, you're in for a ride with this book. It's just a ride.
What, and let me ask you, for the listeners out there that want to purchase, because I know during the last show people had taken down your website. What is your website to purchase this book?
Oh, well, the website is TassonJHaynes.com. That's TassonJHaynes.com. But if you didn't catch that, you could just Google Broken Gem Novel, and you will see it, you know, through Google. And you can purchase it there. Once the inventory that I have is done, you know, it's closed until, you know, the re-release through PHE Inc. And so you got to, you know, scoop up the last bit of inventory. So there's literally about 100 copies left because, you know, the book has been selling. And it, again, is a ride. And I'm hoping that this book becomes a movie. That's my goal because everybody who has read it, that's the comment that they say. And while I have the floor for a second, I do want to, you know, send a few thanks to some of the people who've been instrumental in helping me along the way with this book, because this book did not happen overnight. You know, I've had several people help me with just giving input, you know, just support along the way. So I want to just rattle off a few names if I can. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go for it, man.
You know, just because I want to pay homage to the people who just were there, you know. But I got, you know, Zachary White, Shanette Robinson, Monica Joyner, Jamal Horsley, Lakeisha Johnson, Sarah Moy, my God, those people have just been incredible. My daughter, she's just been an inspiration. Just, you know, little girl, just crazy. She's, you know, 9 going on 30.
Okay.
You know, excuse me. You know, it's just been like people have just been so overly supportive, you know,
mm-hmm.
from day one when this was just a short story. The first chapter of this book was a short story.
Right.
And when people read it, they said, you know what, you need to make this into a book. 2 years later,
it became a book. It's a book,
yep.
and I have to tell you, you know, as a self-published author, you know, I self-published through Lulu, the first, you know, the 4 books that I wrote, and used the house graphics for the title. And while you got your plug in, I'm gonna get my plug in too because not only you, but other authors are on my blog site as well. That's author to be AUTHOR2BE.wordpress.com. www.talentedauthor.com. And that way you can find information about this talented author that we're talking to, as well as other authors, as well as a lot of my writings on here. And I think that what you just did is so important, because you know what? Acknowledging those people that have been in your corner since day one, it is so important for people that are actually out there stepping out on faith, trying to reach their dreams. It's very important. And I have to tell you, I'm not saying this because we've become acquainted over the past several months. I'm not saying this because I'm trying to hype you up. I'm legitimately enthused and inspired by the work that you put out here, but I'm also inspired by the circle of people, the devoted people like your cousin Emilio, who listened in and wanted to make sure that you were seen in a positive light. And the thing that struck me with Emilio is he said, if someone listened to the last show, they would not know enough about your book to want to purchase it. But now at this particular point in time, without giving away any of the plot, without giving away anything else, you know, if people that are listening right now don't purchase this book, they're missing out on some stuff, because I'm going to tell you right now what I've learned about life. I'm telling you what I've learned about life. You encounter all sorts of people in this walk of life, people that are for you and against you, and you don't know until you deal with them. And I'm telling you right now, with this young lady, Sapphire, who is very beautiful, very beautiful, you just never know who you're encountering. So now, let me ask you this question, Kassan. Is there anything that I missed that you need to say?
You know what? There's just two bits about the book before we fully wrap up.
Okay.
It does touch on suicide in the book. That's just one small topic in the book that it does touch. And it does touch on GLBT issues. Well, because there is a gay couple in the book.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I do touch almost every demographic in this book. So, for that segment of the population, you would find some enjoyment with the book as well. So, you know, it's a book for everybody. So I just wanted to throw that out there as well.
In other words, there's something for everybody.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, what I'm going to do now is, first of all, I'm going to allow you to plug this again. Give them your website once again.
All right. The website, www.tasonnjhayness.com, or you can just Google Broken Gem Novel, and you shall find me there. Again, there's probably 100 books left in the inventory. If those sell out, you're going to have to wait until the re-release through PHE Inc. Hopefully in the first quarter of 2011, but no later than the second quarter.
Outstanding. Outstanding.
All right. Broken Gem.
Okay, exactly. Get it. I'm telling you, oh, my God, you'll be wanting, because the way he leaves this book is, you know, there's going to be something else that happens. And another thing, I want to thank you all for tuning in. I have another author on the show that will be on the show Sunday at 6 p.m. His name is Otis Randolph, author of The Frog Bond, and he will be interviewed on Sunday the 19th at 6 p.m. He's also one of the talented authors from PHE Inc. that I have been networking with, and I'm going to tell you right now, when I listen to this rebroadcast of the show, I'm going to listen in so that I could self-critique, so that I'll be even better for him. So now I'd also like to thank the readers for the surge of sales for my book. People have been buying Ripped and Ready, and they've been asking me for number two. This one young man, author Christian Black, author of Pleasures and Sin, he read it like in a night and then read the Ripped and Ready 2 in 3 hours. So authors, what I want to say is stay strong and keep your diligence. Your hard work will pay off. And don't you have any fears about what you're doing. You keep the faith. And before I part out of here right now, Tassan, is there any encouraging words that you want to say to the listeners and future buyers of Broken Gem?
Oh, absolutely. Just always maintain a level head, stay positive. Broken Gem is a ride, you know, enjoy it, ride with me, and look out for anything new from me. And, you mentioned Otis Randolph, the Frog Pond.
Yeah.
He's a part of PHE Inc. I am their newest addition to PHE Inc., so definitely buy his book. The Frog Pond, I read it in a day and a half. It's a good book. So definitely go get it. It's available at Barnes & Nobles and all those major book outlets. So definitely pick it up as well. So,
right. What an honor. You know, one more thing that I wanted to add on when you were talking about joining PHE Inc. and how your book is going to go nationally. You know what I didn't realize is that my books are available on Amazon as well, and then I didn't find out until talking to you that they're also available in the United Kingdom. So it's just a matter of time for many of us for, you know, the fire to hit that dry brush and we take off. And so always remember those closest to you in your corner out there doing it. Those are the ones that you want to keep close at hand, because as soon as you take off, there are going to be other people coming out of the woodwork, and you always want to remember those who have been there during the darkest of times. So this is author G.D. Grace signing off from A Touch of Grace on this here September 16th. You guys, until the next show, God bless. Stay cool. Bye-bye.
Thank you.